You know ID in the D in the L O A. ID in the D in the F E A. You know ID in the D in the L O A. ID in the D in the F E A.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Fabulous Pelton Cast. I'm your co-host, Kevin Pelton.
And I'm Tristan Carcino.
And we are both coming to you from various confines in Seattle, Washington, home of the 2019 NCAA Tournament Round of 32 participant University of Washington Huskies.
Here we go.
Winners, I guess. It's the first
that
time.
That rolls off the tongue.
The participants. First time in 8 years that the Huskies have won an NCAA tournament game as they knocked off Utah State 78-61 on Friday afternoon in Columbus, Ohio, and a game that they mostly led from start to finish and what proved a surprisingly comfortable victory, all things considered, despite some brief moments of panic.
I am trying right now to recreate what I would describe as my now legendary appearance on draft night 2018 on Beast Mode while I was walking the streets of Los Angeles by walking the streets of Ballard in Seattle, Washington.
You're not nearly drunk enough and you're not nearly uninformed enough about the outcome of what happened in today's
brutal
game.
Brutal loss for the Dogs.
to truly recreate that. Where should we start here?
We should start with bring on Iona.
Well, I want to get to what's happening next after that, but we got to keep
there. Sirens going by me right now. It's so loud.
It is very authentic of something. I don't know what.
The sirens are out for the Dogs.
Yeah,
you know where I want to start with.
Where do you want to start?
I want to start with a DM on Twitter that I received in the spirit of me channeling my Beast Mode appearance from our good friend, Mike, from Beast Mode. He said to me, "We are celebrating tonight, Tristan." All caps. And I said to him, "Hells yeah. There's no way I'm driving tonight. The Rainiers will be flowing."
Well, this is going to be annoying to me when I'm driving you home after the Illuminati Hotties show we're attending. But again, that is not
sold, the sold-out Illuminati Hotties show.
There you go. That is not
you mean to say.
Should we start with what I laid out is the game?
Things are happening here on the streets of Ballard.
Are you safe? Is everything okay?
Okay, tell me about the game plan that you laid out for the Huskies to win this NCAA tournament game.
All right, so it was a three-pronged game plan. Number one, get Nemia Shikeda, Utah State's star freshman center and rim protector, in foul trouble. That did not happen at all. He had no fouls in the first half. Did finish with four fouls, but all of them came late when Utah State was intentionally fouling to try to get back into the game.
Okay.
Point two was good three-point shooting from the Huskies, particularly important if they weren't going to be able to get Kata out of there and have more of a path to the rim. And lo and behold, that came through by far the best three-point percentage the Huskies have shot all season.
Wow.
In this game, 10 of 17, a season-high 59%, coming off making just five three-pointers all told against Oregon in the Pac-12 tournament final.
And you know what I call that?
What do you call that?
Super repeatable.
Look, we're not going to worry about that right now. The third prong, by the way, we should mention while we're here, something that made me feel a lot more optimistic about the Huskies' chances before that game even tipped off, Oregon dominating Wisconsin, pulling
Oregon's
away
good.
Late. Yeah, it turns
Oregon
out
Oregon is good.
Oregon's going to make the Sweet 16. They are an overwhelming favorite at this point.
But are they really?
Yeah, because Kansas State was on the other side of the bracket and got upset by UC Irvine. So
no.
It's a clear path to the Elite Eight. Because
wow,
then all they
really
have to
is
do
a
is
pretty flimsy one seed, too.
Beat Virginia.
Oh, my God. Wow. Jimmy might have been right that Oregon had a cakewalk to the Elite Eight.
It's setting up very nicely, as it always seems to do for Oregon. We'll see subsequently whether it sets up nicely for the Huskies in much the same way. But the third point of prong here was for the Huskies to force at least turnovers on at least 20% of Utah State's possessions. And lo and behold, they crushed that. In the first half, they forced 11 turnovers and turnovers on 34% of Utah State's possessions, ended the game with 21 on 70 possessions for an even 30%.
Wow.
And that was a huge factor in this game. Yeah, like,
holy cow.
Utah State was not ready for the zone in terms of the problems it was going to create with turnovers.
I mean, they didn't have a lot of time, I would say, to prepare for the zone.
I mean, they did. They had 4 days.
Matisse Thybulle played at a higher level than I think we've ever seen him play. And the zone, it looked stifling during the first half. It was not just the high-level zone that we've seen throughout the year that's been – I mean, the Husky defense is good. Nobody's questioned that. The offense is what has let them down lately. But this zone played with the kind of energy and focus that we haven't seen for weeks. And Utah State really couldn't compete with that early on.
No, and never really totally found an answer. I mean, they shot barely above 35% on two-point attempts in this game. The Huskies had 10 steals out of the 21 turnovers they forced. Of course, five of them coming from Thybulle, three blocks from Matisse Thybulle. And really, the only period in this game where Utah State found a foothold was when Thybulle was on the bench with three fouls early in the second half.
Some stupid fouls, too, from Matisse. Like, I mean, if we're talking about – we don't want to look forward to the next round yet, but if we're playing Iona, it's like he just can't commit those types of fouls at a high level, right?
Very fair. Yeah, I mean, that's always been one of my biggest concerns about the Huskies. And by the way, this underscores, I mean, I know Jalen Noel did play 38 minutes in this game and barely never got to rest because of David Crisp's fouling out so early. But like the time that Thybulle spent on the bench in foul trouble underscored why he is the most valuable player on this team and should have been the Pac-12 player of the year.
How did Jalen finish with?
Jalen finished with 19 points on 4 of 7 shooting, made both of his threes 9 of 10 from the free throw line.
Kind
also
of
5
quiet
assists.
Quiet 19 points, though.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it wasn't as probably an impressive a performance as Noah Dickerson's 20 points, even though, you know, it took him 13 shot attempts to get those.
Let me give a comparison here for Jalen Noel versus Matisse Thybulle. It's like on one side of the street you have salt and straw, and on the other side of the street you have hotcakes. Nobody loses here. Everybody wins.
All right, that's fair.
But you're still choosing hotcakes in the end, right?
I don't know. I might be choosing salt and straw.
We'll see you later.
I actually had a third choice for that, but
oh really? Yeah. I think there's a full tilt right around the corner. Also,
there's plenty of options.
Okay. So to me, right, yes, the Huskies go into the half up 10, I believe.
12.
They finished strong. Noah Dickerson with the bucket to end the first half. I'm there. I'm eating Dick's Burger at a bar in Lower Queen and feeling good, saying this is a team that's finished pretty well this year, has come out in the second half and played pretty well, and we're going into the half up 12. What could go wrong?
Well, you have never watched a minute of Husky basketball based on that take.
I'm trying to you know, set this up here. But the thing that could go wrong is pressure defense, and it is what has killed the Huskies all year long, right?
Yep.
Anytime, and really teams haven't employed it nearly as much as they should have. I think Oregon was one of the teams that really figured it out earliest,
and that was somewhat by accident because of the fact that Oregon was way down in the game that the Huskies won in Eugene.
And Utah State coming out of the half employs the pressure defense, and the Huskies offense in particular, being able to get the ball past half court, completely cratered.
I mean, as much as, you know, they forced a ton of turnovers on the other end, they struggled with turnovers in their own right. I mean, I still think Matisse Thybulle's foul trouble was the bigger issue here because, you know, so they came out kind of low energy to start the half, but then had largely, you know, gotten things back under control. They were up 13 on a David Crist three-pointer when Thybulle gets called for his third foul at the 15:03 mark. By the time Thybulle returns to the game after the next TV timeout, let's see here. The Huskies at that point were... I guess this doesn't have substitutions, but I think it was down to a five-point game by the time he returned at the 11:26 mark.
And through this time period, Utah State cut that lead all the way down to one.
Eventually. That was after Thybulle returned. Yeah, then Sam Merrill, three. Merrill, their leading scorer, couldn't get anything going in the first half. Finally knocks down a three and makes it a 54-53 game with 9:54 left. Huskies take timeout and are clinging to their lead.
What are you thinking in that moment?
Here we go again?
Like, what would you have guessed percentage chances of victory were the second that three goes in?
I mean, the one thing I was thinking to myself at that point is, look, generally I do believe that when teams lose leads, you know, people overrate the value of momentum in that situation because momentum doesn't exist. And, you know, the Huskies still, like, legitimately were probably better than 50-50 to win the game. But also it felt like Utah State, like, had gotten unlucky in the first half and had figured things out.
0% chance of victory is what you would say. like, the Knights of the Vale riding in to the Battle of the Bastards. Like the Tyrells coming into the Battle of the Blackwater. When things look bleak, who should ride into the game than an unexpected hero, especially from downtown, with two consecutive threes that really honestly put this game pretty close to out of reach for Utah State.
Out of reach. It was a 7-point game, but yes.
Put your diamonds in the sky.
It was the takeover.
Young Hove in the place to be.
A 30% three-point shooter coming into this game, Naz Carter.
Naz knocking down two threes. I mean, those threes that he hit saved this game for the Huskies. Barn, excluding nobody. Look what Naz embodies, right? Like, these threes changed the outcome of this game for the Huskies. Because extending that to a 7-point lead, coupled with Matisse being back in the game and the defense being a little bit more sound and them settling down a little bit against the pressure defense. And the Huskies ran away with it at that point.
Oh, I mean, the one thing, so we alluded to this once but didn't really mention, is David Crisp's fouling out of the game.
Bullshit fouling out of the game. Come on.
A bizarre thing because it never seemed like he was in foul trouble.
That was an animal.
With 10 minutes and 30 seconds left in the second half, David Crisp had two fouls. He commits foul number three at 10:26, foul number four at 9:57, and this happened so fast that the Huskies don't get him out of the game, even though Thibel had been on the bench for an extended period with three fouls. And then, after a steal, he's trying to, you know, box out the defender or maybe try to draw an in one, gets called for the offensive foul in the process of doing this. I guess this is a little later. This was at the 8:16 mark. Where he's called for his fifth foul and fouls out of the game with, you know, over 40% of the second half still to play for the Huskies.
At that moment, things didn't look amazing, but also having Jalen as a ball handler, as a secondary ball handler, is huge because the Huskies really only have two ball handlers on this team.
And as much as you want to talk about the pressure and how much trouble it's caused UW, I mean, frankly, they were able to not just break the press, but beat the press and get easy opportunities over the top.
Let's not be glib here, because they got lucky. There were moments where there were turnovers that could have been. They gave up the lead because of the press. There were turnovers that could have been because of the press that they got lucky. It's the type of defense that relies on these 50-50 plays, where it's like you either get a steal or you're probably giving up a bucket.
Yeah, and you know, there's high risk, high reward, which you need to do when you're trailing. But the Huskies executed and took advantage of that and ended up winning this game going away. I mean, the fact that they were able to ultimately call timeout to put their bench, the end of the bench guys in an NCAA tournament game is incredible. I mean,
I have a call to make about how much did the Huskies win by?
17.
Okay, hold on. Beep, boop, beep, boop, boop, boop. Hey, is Ken Palm there? You like that? 17 points, Mr. Pomeroy, in an NCAA tournament game. Who is favored now?
Probably still Utah State, actually. They still are slightly in the Ken Palm rankings as I look at this. It was the largest margin of the win for victory for the Huskies since February 20th against Utah, when they also won by 17 at home. And as I noted on Twitter,
Bring on the state of Utah.
I guess that is true. They only won four games by larger margins all season than they won by the NCAA tournament. Like, this was one of their best non-conference performances of the year came in the NCAA tournament. I mean, when you account for competition, this is their best performance of the year, I think.
Walk here like a dinosaur on the streets of Ballard right now.
Okay. I mean, but just, you know, so many great performances. We got to talk more about Noah Dickerson going up against, you know, an NBA prospect center, one of the nation's leading shot blockers, And he ends up 7 of 13 for 20 points, has 12 rebounds, is the only reason the Huskies got any defensive rebounds in this game. He had 9 of their 22 defensive boards.
The rebounding, just honestly, like, this team, when they look focused, when they look like they're playing aggressive, is a tough team to beat. Some of the balls that Utah State or maybe various Pac-12 team that they played in the last 3 weeks would have come down with, the Huskies were skying in for those boards. But also, if you're not double-teaming Noah Dickerson, he's going to score. I don't care who's defending him.
And they were double-teaming at times, and he was working the ball and finding the open guy, and the Huskies did a pretty good job handling that. Then just what the Huskies did defensively to Sam Merrill, the leading scorer for Utah State.
Never heard of him.
10 points on 2 of 9 shooting, 6 turnovers in this game, 2 of 7 from 3.
Is he a senior, by the way?
No, he's not. Okay. Kata, despite
I was going to give him a half fun at Croatia, Sam Merrill. But
Kata, despite his size advantage, goes 4 of 12 from the field for 11 points in this game.
He looked
game
like the next Mohamed Sene to me.
Well, I mean, there are worse fates than that. You know, Utah State, one of their worst offensive performances of the season.
One of the best defenses they've played all season.
No, I mean, without question. But they've played other good defenses. You know, they have not necessarily looked this bad. I mean, I guess they did have two weaker offensive performances in losses to Houston, and then when they lost by 23.
Houston's a 3 seed.
Yeah, no.
I mean, okay, let me ask you a question. What time is it right now?
It is
7:39 p.m. What is the score of Iowa versus North Carolina?
It is now, North Carolina has surged after halftime to take a 46-43 lead.
Oh, the dream is bad. I mean, it was like North Dakota State was hanging a little bit close with Duke. And I don't think they scored in the second half somehow.
It's still a 14% chance. I may cancel. Like, we're probably going to play the odds here and do a North Carolina scouting report and not worry about Iota.
All right. Well, do we have to do this right now?
Talk about North Carolina?
Have you scouted North Carolina?
Of course.
Okay, so
what kind of emergency pod would this be?
With their first victory in 8 years in the NCAA tournament?
Yes.
Their last loss in 8 years also came to the team who they are likely to face on Sunday in the round of 32. Tell us, is there a chance against North Carolina?
There's not as good a chance as 2011, when the Huskies very easily could have won that game and perhaps should have won that game, despite, you know, the brutal draw of facing North Carolina at that point in Charlotte.
At Michael Jordan's house.
At 9 a.m. Pacific time on Sunday morning. It was like, if you were drawing up, hey, what's the worst possible scenario you could play? Which, look, I mean, the Huskies did that to themselves with their up and down season and getting that draw. But
this time
they will be playing in Columbus, Ohio on a relatively more neutral site, although there are a lot more Tar Heel fans there than Husky fans, assuming that's the matchup. But North Carolina, one of the nation's most balanced teams, a top 10 team in terms of adjusted ratings from KenPom on both ends of the court, 7th in adjusted offensive efficiency, 10th in adjusted defensive efficiency. And intriguingly, Roy Williams always likes to play fast, but this is, even by his standards, an exceptionally fast team. They have the 5th highest adjusted tempo and also are 5th in adjusted possession length on offense, which is kind of the better measure of how fast a team plays, which will be an interesting contrast against the Huskies, who have one of the slowest defensive paces with their zone. They have played a couple of really fast-paced teams. Gonzaga is at one spot behind North Carolina in adjusted possession length, and UCLA was 11th in that category this season.
Well, how does North Carolina fare size-wise playing against somebody like Noah Dickerson?
How does North Carolina do size-wise? They do pretty well. I mean, they don't have any 7-footers. They actually don't have anyone like Nimi Ishikata in their rotation, but their starting front line goes 6'8", 6'9", 6'9". So there's a lot of size, a lot of length there.
Hey, just wait till they get a lot of Sam Timmons.
Did not see a lot of Sam Timmons tonight. Not a lot of Sam Timmons. Generally, North Carolina does everything pretty well except forcing turnovers where they're average and getting to the free throw line where they're not very good. They don't shoot a huge number of threes, but do make them as a team at a 36.5% clip. All right, now do you want the really bad news?
Oh, no. There's really bad news?
So Oftentimes,
aside from playing North Carolina, there's bad news.
There's worse news than just that. So oftentimes in the NCAA tournament, like one of the big advantages of playing this Syracuse-style 2-3 zone is, oh, you're going up against this unsuspecting opponent that only has one day to prepare between games. But North Carolina plays in the same conference now as Syracuse, the ACC. And would like to know how they've done against Syracuse?
How have they done?
Oh, they've won the last 8 head-to-head meetings, including their win in the 2016 Final Four en route to the national championship. And in those 8 games, they have averaged a 120 offensive rating.
Oh, God.
This year, they beat Syracuse 93-85, going 34 of 37 on free throws, coming up with more than half of available offensive rebounds, and committing just 9 turnovers for a 129 offensive rating.
Realistically, though, does Syracuse, despite the fact that the Huskies are playing a quote-unquote Syracuse zone, does Syracuse have anybody who's anywhere near as good as Matisse Thybulle?
They do not. Definitely, they have not.
He's the best defensive player they will have probably seen all season.
I mean, you can debate him versus Zion. That probably will be part of the debate for who is the National Defensive Player of the Year. And the Huskies have had a better defense this year than Syracuse. Right now, they're 18th in adjusted defensive efficiency on KenPom. The Orange are 30th. But you're not going to catch North Carolina off guard, I would say, with the zone. They're not going to be confused about what they should be doing against a zone like this.
I don't know if there are that many teams that are confused about the zone. It's just that they're good at defense.
True, but you're forced into decisions that you don't typically make, shots you don't typically take. I mean, that's part of the success and the appeal of the zone. And I would say, in terms of personnel, Luke May, to me, is probably pretty close to the perfect zone player. You know, you put him in the middle of the zone to make decisions, make shots. He's a good mid-range shooter. He's shot 77% on free throws this year, makes good decisions with the ball. He didn't actually have a very good scoring game against Syracuse this year, but had 6 assists in that matchup. The guy who really went off for North Carolina against Syracuse was their freshman point guard, Kobe White, who had 34 points on 6 of 11 three-point shooting and 10 of 10 free throws.
Kobe!
He's a very good NBA prospect and a quality point guard. That's probably not what he's going to do in this game. He's only a 36% three-point shooter for the season. But, you know, keeping him out of the paint will be very important for the Huskies.
Okay.
Then you've got Cameron Johnson, who can either be the dump-off guy in the post. He's long, 6'9", very athletic. Or he can stretch it out to 3 because he shot 47% on 3s as a 6'9" setter this season and made 87 of them.
Oh, God.
So if you're the Huskies, here's what you want to do. You want to make the other two starters.
Three-pronged attack.
I know. I mean, I don't know if I've yet come up with a three-pronged attack. But
how many
prongs
do you have? Can I get a prong?
I have maybe like one prong at best. You want to make North Carolina's other two starters beat you. That's senior guard Kenny Williams, who's just a 29% three-point shooter. And sophomore forward Garrison Brooks, who's largely a non-factor on offense, did shoot 57% on 2s this year. Those are the guys you want to beat you. And then also, to a lesser extent, coming off the bench, Nasir Little, who entered the year as like an almost certain top 5 draft pick and has subsequently played his way out of that.
There's only one Nas who matters here.
I don't know if I go that far. He's got good athleticism, but particularly if you can force him to make plays from the outside, then you're going to want to do that.
Okay.
I mean, the
are there any other prongs? I mean, like, you're saying prongs exist. Making threes is always going to be a prong.
Yeah, and North Carolina does allow a lot of threes. Opponents take over 42% of their shots as threes, one of the relatively higher rates in the country.
Interesting.
They don't shoot a very good percentage on them, but you know, that is something that if the Huskies are going to be good, successful offensively, the three-point shooting will have to carry over for sure.
All right.
And by the way, North Carolina now up 11 and up to 96.
I was going to say, we just got a chat from the famous Cousin Katie that said, that was fun while it lasted, about the dream of Iona.
I mean, obviously we would have rather played Iona. North Carolina, playing North Carolina in the second round of the NCAA, like, that's a big game. That's like, you're in the mix if you're doing that.
Bring on Carolina.
It didn't seem as obviously it wasn't exciting in 2011.
Bring on Carolina.
Because like that 2011 team was good enough to make the Sweet 16 if they had gotten a more favorable draw. That was, I think, one of the 15 best teams in the country that year. This year's Husky team, look, hey, anything is gravy at this point. So, hey, let's have some fun.
All right.
All right, on that note.
We'll be back with you, I'm assuming Sunday, either way, either to wrap up the season or to talk about this Husky basketball team advancing to the Sweet 16. But either way, we're drinking tonight with Mike. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.